Welcome to Why the V in Java website. The covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is a written agreement or promise, usually under a seal, between two or more parties for the performance of some action. That quote was from Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary. So a covenant, then, is that which binds together the parties. There are several varieties found in the Old Testament, the so-called Old Testament. There are covenants between tribes regarded as treaties or alliances, such as Genesis 26:26-31. There are treaties or alliances between kings and subjects, or as commands, such as found in Jeremiah 34, or between individuals or groups, such as agreements or pledges, 2 Kings 11, chapter 11, verse 4. Also, marriage itself is regarded as a covenant. In Malachi, chapter 2, verse 14. Malachi 2:14, and you can look these up in text on our website. The elements include a statement of the terms agreed upon, an oath by each party, oath, by each party to observe the terms, a statement of the penalty invoked by each for breaking the covenant, and the formal ratification. So it's a statement of the terms, an oath, statement of the penalty invoked for breaking it, and the ratification. Basically, four elements there are in a covenant. In a covenant between Yahweh and man, it is Yahweh, our maker, who takes the initiative. Yahweh's promises relative to any covenant he makes with man are predicated upon human obedience. Now let's look at Genesis, or Bereshit, chapter 17. Genesis 17, beginning. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty Yah. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's kind of a precursor of Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Walk before Yahweh, walk before me, be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Promise of blessings. And Abram fell on his face, and Yahweh talked with him. He talked with him. That couldn't have been the Father, for John 5 says that no one had ever even heard the Father's voice. Yahweh talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, or Avraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and the kings shall come out of thee. This is Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a maker unto thee. It says G-O-D there, but we're not going to use that term. Be a maker unto thee, and in thy seed after thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their mighty one. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, now Yahweh is the correct term here, not G-O-D, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. See Philippians 3, verse 5. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So there are the terms, the conditions there. And in this sense, the covenant is a mighty Yahweh ordinance. They use the word divine ordinance. Therefore, any covenant between Yahweh and man is a solemn mutual agreement, as well as an obligation imposed by the superior one upon the inferior one. A relationship, we hear that term, love is just a relationship between Yahweh and me. Relationship is a protesting concept that may or may not include the commitment of that greatest covenant agreement. Oh, and I wanted to add, too, that we could go to Romans chapter 2, where he talks about circumcision is in the heart as well. And then a person could argue and say, well, it's just what matters in my heart. That's all that there is. It's just what's in my wonderful heart. And ma'am or sir, that's where the problem begins, is in the heart. So let's not use that as an alibi to get out of keeping Yahweh's agreements. A relation could, in fact, pertain to an illicit sexual affair. There are many relationships people think are great, but they would be an abomination in Yahweh's eyes. A superior covenant between Yahweh and a true believer shows the depth of commitment and love. The genuine Hebrew believer in the Messiah has the deepest relationship not found in nominal neo-evangelicalism, not found in modern religion. He lays himself on the altar for Yahweh. That's the genuine believer in the Messiah. I use the word Hebrew believer. It doesn't necessarily have to be a Hebrew believer, but I can use that term. That's also legitimate. But probably be very few and far between when I do use the term. I don't want to confuse anybody. The agreement between Yahweh and the nation of the chosen ones, or the Hebrew ones, is commonly referred to as the Old Covenant. The details are found in Exodus chapters 19 through 24. Exodus 19. The Ten Commandments are found in chapter 20, of course. The terms of this covenant are right there in chapters 20 through 24, the Ten Commandments and the judgments, or privileges, should have been translated. The oath to observe the terms is found in Yahweh's promises to bless the Hebrews, and that's Exodus 23, verse 20, and 23 and 25 and verse 31 as well. And as you're driving along the turnpike in Pennsylvania, please don't try to look these up. But you could look it up in the text later on the yahweh.com website or one of our other websites. Compare Hebrews 6, 17, and 18. And in the Hebrews reply to Yahweh in Exodus 24, verse 3. And in Deuteronomy 5, 27 and 28, they said that they would covenant with the Mighty One and that they would bind themselves with the Eternal. And that included the curses for disobedience. And they are understood by the word or the term if, I-F, in Exodus 19, 5 and 6, which makes the promises conditional. Exodus 19 and 5 and 6, and also Exodus 23, chapter 23, verses 22 and also 33. The blessings and curses are repeated in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Now, if I'd lost you on that, that's all right. You could either go back or, don't worry about it right now. The formal ratification or agreement, yes, we will, is recorded there in Exodus 24, 4, verse 11. The chosen ones, the wife, that's us, the chosen ones, agree to obey Yahweh, who is the husband, in return for various blessings. See Exodus 24:3, Exodus 19, and Exodus 23, chapter 23. Now, while this marriage, of course, is symbolic, it illustrates the general agreement that took place between Yahweh and the nation of the Hebrews. If we look at Ezekiel, or Ezekiah, we call that, Ezekiel chapter 16, initially a wife might agree to obey her husband in a general way, but many circumstances involving specific acts of obedience not written out at the time of the original contract arise during the marriage. Many circumstances not written arise or come up. The terms of the Old Covenant included a summary of the Ten Commandments, as well as various statutes and judgments which defined how the Ten Commandments should be applied in specific circumstances. See Exodus 20 to 23. See Exodus chapter 34 as well. 34 verse 27. These were the general terms of the covenant. They were not the covenant. They were the terms. The covenant was the agreement between Yahweh and the nation of Hebrews to observe the respective terms. And that would be the agreement, obedience in return for specific promises. Please read the article all about the covenants from Giving and Sharing. That's www.giveshare.org. Giveshare.org. Let's talk about the failure of the Hebrews to keep the covenant. Y'all know the story, right? Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit anyway. As a wife who fails to anticipate at the time of the marriage ceremony what the promise of obedience to her husband entails, the chosen one soon fell short as well. This is why Jeremiah was later to write to us, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt," that the Mighty One, in other words, Yahweh, brought them out of Egypt, "concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." Compare Exodus 19:24, Exodus and the old scriptures, and I got to find chapter 19, because if you're driving along, we don't want you to be reading a script somewhere on a screen or in the book. "And Yahweh said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto Yahweh, lest he break forth upon them." That was Exodus 19:24. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And notice again that scripture that we read. Jeremiah wrote, "I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." So burnt offerings or sacrifices, lo and behold, were added. They were the added law. It's found in Jeremiah. We'll go to the particular chapter later, but this, now he says, "But this thing I commanded them." What did he command them? "But this thing I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your Mighty One, your Yahweh, and you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Mm-hmm. "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers." We are just reading from the book of Jeremiah, or Jeremiah. It was in chapter 7, verse 22 through 26. And that was the added law, the law of sin offerings, and it's talked about there in the book of Galatians. A law was added because of the transgression of the chosen ones. A law was added. Galatians 3:19. And a full explanation of this scripture will be given later on. This added law was a sacrificial law intended to remind the Hebrews of their failure to live up to the terms of the Old Covenant. Let's go to Hebrews in the New Testament. It's about midway through there. Hebrews 10:1-4. It involved not only laborious offerings, but also various washings, rites, and ceremonies. It was intended for a limited time period. See the margin, or see Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 10. And you can look in your margin there, in your scriptures. Now, this system of offerings did not begin until the second year after the chosen ones left Egypt. See Exodus 40, verse 1 and 17. This was when sin offerings were instituted. Jeremiah 7, 22, once again. We just read there above, or earlier. There is no mention of sin offerings involving the people of the Hebrews until Leviticus 4. Leviticus 4, verse 2. Thus, in logical sequence, the book of Leviticus follows the book of Exodus. And we'll be looking up Hebrews 9, verse 10, and reading it during the course of this audio tract here, this audio file. It was because of the Hebrews' failure to live up to the requirements of the Old Covenant that the added law was instituted. And though obedience to Yahweh was limited to obeying the letter of the law, the nation as a whole was incapable of even that limited obedience. I wish we could measure up to that. There were no spiritual promises attached to the Old Covenant. Salvation was not offered as a part of the agreement. Now, you didn't read that there. Upon condition of the Hebrews' obedience, the promises were physical blessings and national security only. And proof of that is Leviticus 26 or Deuteronomy 28, or both of them. Leviticus 26. And the promise of salvation is found nowhere in the entire agreement with the children of the northern tribes and Yehuda or Judah. And the promise of salvation, nor is the forgiveness of sins. Paul says in the book of Hebrews that the so-called sacrificial system did not serve as a method of expiating sins or doing away with sins. It merely served as a reminder of sin, looking forward to the time when the spiritual promises would be given and individual sins could be forgiven. See Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, please, in your scripture reading time, if you haven't read it before. The chosen people as a whole did not have the heart or desire to obey Yahweh. The books of Judges, Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles attest to the fact that there were few periods of time when the nation of the chosen ones obeyed Yahweh. After the Hebrews' revolt from the house of David, there was never a time the northern kingdom ever attempted to obey. In Judah, there were a few righteous kings who effected reformations for limited periods of time. But Judah, or Yehuda, also proved incapable of obedience. I think we can see ourselves there, can't we? I can surely see myself there, incapable of obedience without the help of the Spirit of our Heavenly Father and our Savior Yahweh. Both nations, the northern kingdom and the southern nation of Judah, the northern and southern nations were driven into national captivity and were divorced. Jeremiah 3, verses 8 to 11. 2 Kings 17, verse 18, and also 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings 17 and 2 Kings chapter 25. And they were divorced, Jeremiah 3, 8 to 11. Yet the covenant agreement between Yahweh and the chosen ones was never intended as an end in itself. Rather, it was a forerunner of what was to follow. It was the stepping stone Yahweh was to use in accomplishing his purpose for mankind. It was to be the foundation for the new covenant. Keeping Yahweh's covenant. Here in YahwehNotYahweh.com, we explained what was the old covenant. The Hebrews' failure. The law was added. And we'll be looking momentarily at the new covenant. Thank you for joining us. Shalom.